Father in heaven, we are so grateful that we can study your word. And this morning, we need more than just a standard understanding of it. We need an individually crafted word from you to our hearts. And your Holy Spirit knows just how to do it. Keep me from saying something that might harm your spirit from working. And we just are so grateful that you're here, your angels are here, and Jesus is going to be uplifted. Help us to love and see him in Christ's name. Amen. Sylvania, a 53-year-old Italian, was on a Mediterranean cruise ship when he recognized his family curse. It had arrived. All his life he had been fearful of this moment. He had been watching for it, and without warning, it struck. While dancing with other passengers, he found his shirt had become drenched in sweat. Rushing from the dance floor, he hurried to a mirror to examine his eyes. As he looked intently at the pupils, his heart froze. His pupils had shrunk to two tiny pinholes. It was the same glassy-eyed stare that had afflicted his father and two sisters at the beginning of their mysterious illness. He knew this was just the beginning, and the most terrifying symptom would be coming soon. The disappearance of sleep, almost total insomnia for months, that would ultimately end in death. But Sylvania broke the family tradition of secrecy about this illness and referred himself to the University of Bologna sleep unit for further study. He was under no illusions about the progression of this disease. At the very start of his medical evaluation, he told the neurologist what was going to happen. I'll stop sleeping, and within 8 or 9 months, I'll be dead. He knew, because he had studied his family tree back over 200 years, back to a physician that had been the start of this. Family members had developed the same symptoms and the same fate. And it was just as Sylvania predicted. He died less than a couple of years later from sleep loss. But it was from the study of Sylvania that scientists discovered a previously unknown rare genetic disorder, fatal familial insomnia. An estimated 200 people in the world have it, unable to rest, unable to sleep. The first symptoms typically begin around the age 50. The individual loses the ability to sleep, and although fatal within months, they've tried everything, within months, they die. And although fatal familial insomnia with complete absence of sleep is rare, more mild sleep disorders are not rare. Statistics from the CDC state that one of three adults gets less than 7 hours of sleep at night. 50 to 70 million, that is one out of six of every adult in the United States, have a chronic sleep disorder. Sleep deprivation increased last year. Work from home has increased by an average of 18 minutes per person in the last year, but this was associated with a decreased amount of sleep by 23 minutes. Sleep deprivation produces a host of diseases and problems of life. We all know that sleep deprivation has a profound effect on our brains. It impacts our memory. Losing sleep to try to study harder is counterproductive. Loss of sleep impairs our decision making. It clouds our ability to reason. It lessens our ability to problem solve. It blunts our alertness, making us less aware of danger. It delays our reaction time in responding to the danger that we almost can't see. It contributes to depression. It heightens anxiety. A large study out of the University of Oxford found that after 27 hours without sleep, our alertness is similar to the effects of a blood alcohol concentration of 0.05%, which according to U.S. law is considered impaired on the legal drunk scale. Sleep loss not only affects our mental faculties, it profoundly impacts our bodies. Insufficient sleep substantially increases our risk for Alzheimer's disease, and it's very interesting to study what happens as we miss sleep and what happens in the actual cells of our brains. Obesity is contributed by sleep deprivation. Type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular problems with coronary heart disease and stroke. It increases the risk for cancer such as breast cancer, colorectal cancer, and prostate cancer. And it increases our risk of automobile accidents. In population studies, sleeping less than 6 hours per night has been associated with a 12% increased risk of death. In an adult with an average life expectancy in the United States with sleep loss has an increased risk, which translates to a potential loss of 9 years of life. No wonder God inspired Ellen White to mention rest as one of the true remedies. Pure air, say it with me. Sunlight, abstemiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power, these are the true remedies. If we're going to bring a message of healing to a hurting world, we must bring a message of rest. For the last 13 weeks, in our Sabbath school, we have been looking at what? Rest. Now, after you've had a course in academy or college, right at the end, what do you get? Test. And I'm going to guarantee you, you're going to be tested on this week's quarter's lessons. You're going to be tested on this topic, can I say, for the rest of your life? In fact, the final test is on rest. The information we'll be reviewing this morning is non-optional. We all need to know it well. You'll see it again. Some of you will have a test over it today. And all of us will have a test on it tonight. Now you'll see questions on this material on the coming, God's coming, national boards. To prepare you for the final, you'll have quizzes evening by evening and week by week. So in preparation for these tests, I would like us to spend some time this morning reviewing the subject of our Sabbath school quarter, rest. I love the following quote on the blessings of sleep. This is from a pamphlet, 43, page 38. Read it with me. God has given us night as one of His greatest blessings. Have you ever thanked God for night? What is night? One of God's greatest blessings. What's the difference between day and night? God turns off the light from the sun and turns on the nightlight. And what does nightlight bring us? Notice it continues, bringing quiet and repose to overworked bodies and minds. Does that ever fit you at school if you're a faculty teacher or a staff or a student? Notice it continues, we cannot prosecute any labor, however interesting and essential, without periods of rest when the human machinery, read that last phrase with me, shall stand still. When the hour of retirement comes, we should yield to nature's sweet restore. But what happens when we don't? If her claims are not obeyed, if the hours of sleep are abridged, the result will be weariness and want of, what's the next word? Every power. But inspiration doesn't stop with a look at this earth. It takes our minds forward to the ultimate rest. There's no night in heaven. There's no wear and weariness in the human machinery. We shall never be sensible of fatigue. Does that sound good? Never need or want repose. There's no tire in performing God's will. We shall never be wearied in sounding His praise. We shall always have the freshness of morning, of the morning. But, as we are now in this world, with bodies which weary, we must pay heed to God's plans and take repose when we need it. And this is exactly what the Bible says. Please read it with me, Psalm 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. What does God want to give you?
Sleep.
Do you think this is even true of young people, students in academy and college? Notice this from Christian Education, page 124. In eating, drinking, and dressing, the laws of health should be diligently followed. And, now read this with me, and in regulating the hours for sleep, there should be no haphazard work. What does the word haphazard mean? In the Oxford Dictionary, it says irregular, hit or miss, chaotic. Now, the next word, next two words, it says no students. Who is this next student sentence addressed to? Students. No student should form the habit of, anyone want to guess what's going to come next? No student should form the habit of sitting up late at night to burn the midnight oil and then take the hours of day for sleep. If they've been accustomed to doing this at home, they should seek to correct their habits. Based on God's instruction here, what is one of the purposes for you being in school here? To correct habits. See, you might have developed some bad habits at home. You probably have some very good habits from home. But here at Weimar, this is God's wonderful opportunity to correct bad habits. You correct bad habits by forming good habits. And habits that are going to stand you in good stead throughout the rest of your life. The rest of your life. One of the habits to form in school is a proper sleep habit. Now notice how the quotation continues. If they have been accustomed to doing this at home, accustomed to doing what at home? Sleeping in and waking out. They should seek to correct their habits and go to rest at a seasonable hour and rise in the morning refreshed for the day's duties. In our schools, the light should be extinguished at 9:30. Now, it's possible. I'm thankful for this information. I had it as a young person and went all the way through Loma Linda Medical School, turning out my light, 9:30. It works. Interesting statements. Light should be extinguished at 9:30. The journal BMC Public Health is a peer-reviewed journal from Britain and had a very interesting article August 4 of this year. The researchers were trying to figure out why is COVID so much more common in cities than it is outside. We observed a significant positive correlation between light at night, LAM, intensity and COVID-19 cases rate per 1,000, suggesting that circadian disruption of ambient light may increase the COVID-19 infection rate, possibly by affecting an individual's immune functions. Interesting study. Sleep research is very interesting. There's a lot of literature on sleep science. A study published in Nature found that people who went to bed a half hour later than their usual time had an increased heart rate throughout the next day. April 27, 2017, Time magazine published an interesting article on the timing of when we should go to sleep based on an interview with a very respected sleep specialist, Matt Walker, who has published more than 100 scholarly articles on sleep. Here are some of his findings. The time of night when you sleep makes a significant difference in terms of the structure and quality of your sleep. According to his research, this is built on non-changeable REM and non-REM sleep. Now, he credits this to hundreds of thousands of years of evolution. But the credit goes to God, who wrote the laws of our being not simply on 10 tables of stone, but on trillions of cells that are in our bodies, every cell. Notice this letter 85, 1883. Physicians should practice what they teach. What should they teach? They should teach that by studying after 9 o'clock, there's nothing gained but much lost. Now, what should physicians teach? Stop studying at 9 o'clock. Why?
Nothing gained.
Much lost. And then it goes on to say, teach and practice. Now, what are they supposed to do? Not only teach, but what?
Practice.
That the time can be systematically employed, one duty after another, attended to promptly, not allowed to lag, so that midnight hours will not have to be employed in laborious studies. And then she adds this, I know from the testimonies given me from time to time for brain workers. Now she's saying, God told me this, that sleep is worth far more before than after midnight. 2 hours good sleep before 12 o'clock is worth more than 4 hours after 12 o'clock. That is the instruction on sleep, and it is for all of us. And studying the lessons this quarter has impacted my own habits. I'm just going to tell you. I'm now going to bed earlier than before the quarter began. I want the information that God is pleased to allow me to see to guide the habits of my life, don't you? In a large cohort study of 433,268 adults, Chronobiology International on the 11 April 2018 edition found a 10% increased risk of early death among those people who were self-reported night owls. In our home, we have a number of clocks that are plugged in. And whenever there's an electronic outage, what do you think happens, even with brief outage, to those plugged in clocks? Oh, you have to reset them. And think of it. Every cell of our body, the trillions of cells, not only contain each one clock genes, but a whole network of genes involved in the circadian rhythm. Thus, we have trillions of clocks in our bodies. And our artificial light allows us to develop habits of going to bed later at night. And our clocks begin to get on different times. They're no longer synchronized. Now, we do at home have one clock. It's our night light there in the bathroom. And it is tuned to WWV, which is the National Bureau of Standards, and it's constantly sending out signals of what time it is. And so this clock, if the electricity goes off, comes back on, this clock gets reset correctly. God has given a great time resetter and clock synchronizer. You know what that is? It's the sun. And it turns out that being a night owl, contrary to what you may think, contrary to what you may have been told. Being a night owl is not a genetic issue, but an artificial light issue, which has become a habit. In a small but very interesting study published August 1, 2013, in the journal Current Biology, researchers found that being a night owl stopped when people were exposed only to sunlight and did not have exposure to artificial light morning or night. This involves a massive change in every cell with times for melatonin release. I discovered why at 7 o'clock in the morning I always, and have for years, want to go to sleep. It's because I have some clocks that are off. And they're releasing melatonin. I just read it in this article. That's it. One of the reasons I was so happy I could retire is I wanted to have that time to sleep at 7. Now I discover that it was my clocks were set off. And the solution, according to the study here, is to go camping, where you only have sunlight. I just loved camping. This involves a massive change in every cell as they get everything set right. And I want that in my body. But we must move on in our review of rest. Day and night is not the only cycle in nature. In the creation story, we are introduced to another activity and rest cycle. What one is that? Rest involves much more, you see, than sleep. Although our God never slumbers or sleeps, He does rest. Notice, say it with me, Exodus 20:11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. And He wants us to have rest. This rest is beyond the daily rest sleep gives us. The angels don't sleep, but they too have a time of rest. I want us to notice a very interesting letter from the pen of inspiration. This is pamphlet 43, page 39. Elder White and Dr. Kellogg have not given themselves proper rest. God instituted the Sabbath as a day of rest to repair nature's exhausted energies. No mind can continue day after day without cessation, either in business, which taxes the mental powers, or in the acquirement of knowledge without injury. What's the job of the student? Acquire knowledge. What's the job of the pastor? Acquire knowledge. What's the job of a physician? Acquire knowledge. You cannot continue this day after day without injury, whether this is school or work. Think about this for a moment. Who was one of the foremost proponents of keeping the Sabbath in the mid-1800s? Elder White. He was a minister. Dr. Kellogg is a physician. Both strong supporters of the Sabbath. But notice what this paragraph says. Elder White and Dr. Kellogg had not given themselves proper Sabbath rest. In other words, there were blessings from the Sabbath that even the leading Sabbath promoters were not receiving. Is it possible that there is a rest for this Sabbath that you're not receiving? Are there blessings on the Sabbath that we're missing? Early writings remind us that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will proclaim the Sabbath more fully. Volume 6, 362. We do not obtain 100th part of what we should from assembling together to worship God. 100. I remember Elder Frazee. He says, you know, if I gave you $1,000, $100, and you came in and somebody snatched 99 of them away, you might be thankful for the one, but what about the other 99? Yeah. God wants us to get far more from our assembling together than we even dream of. I was interested to see that my computer has settings for when I want it to wake and when I want it to sleep. But that's not always enough. Sometimes I need to reboot the computer. Things begin to get off. Programs run and introduce errors from their bugs. Memory leaks begin to occur. It needs a reboot. And Sabbath is the weekly reboot we all need. James White, a minister. Dr. John Harvey Kellogg, a physician. Leading minister, leading physician. They weren't always getting that reboot. Everyone needs a reboot each Sabbath. Are you getting a reboot this week? Today? Let me address those particularly who go into medicine and related fields. Counsels to Health, page 329. In this day age, there is danger for everyone who shall enter upon the study of medicine. Why? What's the danger? Notice the first two dangers. Often, his instructors are worldly wise men and his fellow students, infidels who have no thought of God. And he is in danger of being influenced by these irreligious associations. What two things place us in danger? Instructions who are worldly wise men, fellow students who do not believe the Bible and have no thought of God. What's our danger? To be influenced by the wisdom of the world and the actions of those who do not fully believe the Bible and have no fear of God. The reality is, the higher you go in education, not just medical education, the greater this danger. But the next sentence is both hopeful and a warning. Nevertheless, some have gone through the medical course and have remained true to principle. How's that hopeful? Some do remain true to principle. How's it a warning? If only some do remain true to principle, what do many not do? No. What do you think made the difference between the some who remain true to principle and the many who did not? I want us to read the next phrase together. They would not continue their studies on the Sabbath. Just as we don't continue our studies into the late night, we don't continue our studies into the Sabbath. There is a rest for the people of God. These young people she's talking about here, the some, took the rest that God provided. They let God sanctify them, just as He sanctified a day. Just as God set a day apart, He sets apart a people. And these students had God's sign of holiness. They were uninfluenced by the instruction of unholy, worldly wise professors and unholy and godless fellow students. And, she says, they have proved that men may become qualified for the duties of a physician and not disappoint the expectations of those who furnish them means to obtain an education. When I was in Wichita, Pastor Don is our pastor there. I was medical director of Wesley Rehab Hospital, and there were great efforts to take our hospital and make it run 7 days a week. The leaders of the hospital felt that this would be a way to increase its efficiency and profitability, and I could not support that. The rest that God gives us in the Sabbath is more important than many realize. Scientists have uncovered a weekly cycle built into every cell of our bodies and also built into animals. All this is suggested in the fourth commandment. We don't have time to review the science for you this morning, but the science of the seven-day cycle in healing and treating and throughout nature is very interesting. And you will find you'll want to study it very carefully. It's been tried. France tried it during the Revolution. Communist Russia tried it in the Soviet Union. Hospitals have tried it. Schools have tried it. Armies have tried it. It doesn't work. The experiment was tried in Amen clinics. It didn't work there either. As I previously mentioned, there is a network of genes in every cell of our body with a 7-day clock. These genes don't inactivate for medical workers. Health professionals are not given a pass to go to medical or dental conferences on the Sabbath, secular ones. Adventist nurses and physicians are not given a pass to work every Sabbath. The Sabbath is a time for holy convocations and holy studies and holy conferences. These are appropriate to take notes and study. The Bible and Spirit of Prophecy are clear on this. But never secular conferences and studies. We need a reboot. Notice how we gain rest. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We enter the rest of the Sabbath when we keep it holy. How do we keep it holy? Patriarchs and Prophets, page 48. God saw that a Sabbath was essential for man. Now I want you to read with me the next three words. Even in paradise. He needed to lay aside his own interests and pursuits for one day of the seven. Adam did before sin. Eve needed it before sin. Why was this? That he might more fully contemplate the works of God and meditate upon his power and goodness. This is in perfect Eden. He needed a Sabbath to remind him more vividly of God and to awaken gratitude because all that he enjoyed and possessed came from the beneficent hand of the Creator. That's how we keep the Sabbath holy. This is the Sabbath rest. Let's look at this for another moment. We keep the Sabbath holy by laying aside our own interests and pursuits each Sabbath. In place of our interests and pursuits, we more fully consider the works of God and how they reveal not only His power, but His goodness. And that's Isaiah 58. Say it with me. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to write on the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. When this happens, you see, we see God more vividly and become more grateful for all he has given us. We know the remainder of the fourth commandment. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. It covers the entire week. We are commanded to work for 6 days. Can a lazy man keep the Sabbath?
No.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who's within your gates. And now God tells us why we are to keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. How did the Sabbath become holy? God hallowed it. God made it holy, but we are to keep it that way. We are not allow nothing to intrude into our lives that would make it lose its holiness for us or others. But does our day of rest need to be the Sabbath? Could any day of the week work just as well? Right now, there's a small segment of the evangelical Protestant world that's recommending a weekly rest. They say, choose your day. Just pick any day. Might be Tuesday. Some believe Sunday should be the day of rest. Some believe Christians should rest every day. Let's look at the world religions. What day does Islam choose to rest on? Friday. What day do Buddhists worship on? Originally, they worshipped on Upsapa. Some places still do. Upsapa is not tied to the day of the week, but is approximately weekly. It's tied to the quarter moon, the half moon, the three quarters moon, and the new moon. What day do Hindus worship on? Hindus have God's many and Lord's many. You choose the God you want to worship, and then you worship on the day of the week for that particular God. But it's interesting. Saturday is dedicated to alleviating the bad influence of Lord Shanai. Black is the color of the Hindu Sabbath, Saturday. Do you think that Satan had some hand in it? But what does the commandment say? Remember the Sabbath day. Isn't it interesting that every false religion attacks the fourth commandment? Do Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Do you think that's happenstance? Would it surprise you if Satan would even try to change the day Christians worship on? My Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. To sanctify means to make holy. God makes his people holy. The rest God gives is a unique sign. Hindus don't have it. Muslims don't have it. Sunday-keeping Christians don't have that sign. What identifies God's people? A holy people with a holy day. A people who try to make a day holy are not God's special people. A people who try to make themselves holy are not God's special people. We can't make ourselves holy any more than we can make a day holy. Only a holy people can truly worship God on Sabbath. And this is a distinguishing sign identifying the worship of the Creator God. More than a good night's sleep refreshes us, a good Sabbath day refreshes us. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Do your Sabbaths leave you refreshed, ready to face the challenges of a new week, like a good night's sleep makes you ready to meet the challenges of another day? Notice the Sabbath is always linked to creation. It is a separator between those who worship God, their Creator, from those who do not. Now we notice the Sabbath is part of two cycles. A daily cycle of activity and sleep, but it's also part of a weekly cycle. This has nothing to do with sleep. It has everything to do with rest. The night of sleep remains, but in addition, the Sabbath day adds rest. Does it take preparation during the week to be able to rest on the Sabbath? Yes. Exodus 16:20. When do I stop? Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today. Boil what you will boil. Lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. Does the Sabbath rest involve assembling together to worship, or should we go apart to the beach or mountains to worship God on the Sabbath like some of my friends did at medical school? Okay. 6 days shall the work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, a solemn rest, a holy convocation assembly. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Does rest involve singing? You shall have a song as in the night when a holy festival is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goes with a flute to come into the mountain of the Lord, the mighty one of Israel. And there are special songs for the Sabbath, such as Psalm 92. We begin by telling the story of the discovery of fatal familial insomnia. Fortunately, this is rare. Unfortunately, spiritual fatal insomnia is common. Isaiah 57:20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot what?
Rest.
Whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There's no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And the Sabbath is associated with rest. Sunday keeping with the mark of the beast gives no rest. This is spiritual fatal insomnia. The third angel's message warns of spiritual fatal insomnia. They have what? Read it with me. They have no rest. Day, that is, they don't have the rest of the Sabbath. Or night, they don't have the real night sleep that God gives. Who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. They have spiritual, familial, fatal, I should say, spiritual, fatal insomnia. There's no Sabbath day rest from this worship. And we must carry a message to the world being consumed by their cares and burdens, their unfulfilling, care-filled lives, their unsatisfying worship. Jesus calls saying, this is not your rest. It's not a night of sleep or even attendance at church that gives us a rest. It's Jesus alone that gives us rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Do you want that rest? After a busy day, before you go to sleep at night, go to Jesus. And on your knees, review your day with Him. Then tell Him you're coming to Him for the rest He has promised. And after a busy week, on Sabbath morning, on your knees, come to Jesus and ask Him for the Sabbath rest He wants to give you, that reboot. His promise is sure. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And the rest that Jesus gives is not a spiritual, fatal slumber. The church isn't a slumber party. It's a rest that gives us strength to work for Jesus. For My yoke is easy, My burden is light. There's nothing that gives more rest, more satisfaction, more delight than talking to people about Jesus, having that opportunity, and see them come to the cross. Nothing is like that. At this time, when the world has a fatal restlessness, God's rested people must not succumb to the opposite but no less fatal danger, sleeping sickness. Like Jonah, we've been called to wake up and share a message with the world. God says to Seventh-day Adventists today what the captain of Jonah's sea vessel said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." People are perishing. And we learned from the lesson of Jonah last week. God takes us and throws us into the soup right around us. And then He'll bring us to where He wants us. But in the meantime, He'll use us. But the rest God gives us today in the Sabbath is only a foretaste of the rest He will be giving us in heaven. Our quarterly not only looks at the present rest God provides His people, but the future rest He will give His saints. Notice this from Desire of Ages 3:31. As through Jesus we enter into rest. Read those next three words with me. Heaven begins now. However, Elder Fassis said something that I'll never forget. He said, "Eternity is so wonderful, the only way to get more of it is to start sooner." We respond to His invitation, "Come, learn of Me," and in thus coming we begin the life eternal. Heaven is a ceaseless approaching to God through Christ. The longer we are in the heaven of bliss, the more and still more of glory will be open to us. And the more we know of God, the more intense will be our happiness. As we walk with Jesus in this life, we may be filled with His love, satisfied with His presence, all that human nature can bear. Read it with me. We may receive here. But what is this compared to the hereafter? There are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, where eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org. or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.